Good. As we prepare to gather around God's Word and hear from it this morning, hear the events, the promise, the truth of the resurrection, before we do that, I'd invite you, ask you to pray with me, please. Living God, may Your Word be our rule, Your Spirit our teacher, and the glory of our risen Savior our single ambition. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me get one thing on the table. I want to name one thing from the get-go on this Easter Sunday. And that's this. That Easter means different things to different people. I'm thinking this morning specifically of three groups of people, some of whom are probably all in this room this morning, and I'm thinking of these three groups of people in light of the resurrection. The first is those who have said with your life a resounding yes to following Jesus. And so it's my prayer today that we would be filled with the hope and the joy and the confidence of the resurrection. The second group is the prodigal. This group, you might consider yourself in the general category of Christian, but perhaps you aren't orienting your life around who Jesus is and what He taught and how He lived. Perhaps you've said yes to Jesus, but that yes has grown cold. It's kind of distant. If that's you, it's my prayer today that we would see His glory, the glory of the Father, and come home. The third group are those who are not following Jesus and you don't claim to be. You might sense deep down in your heart that maybe Jesus just doesn't seem to be with you in the same way that you hear other people say that talk about being with Him. You have questions maybe. You wonder if it's true. You're here this morning because someone invited you. Well, it's my prayer that God's Spirit would move in our life to awaken our mind and soften our heart to His glorious Gospel. Wherever you are with Jesus, it's we're so happy to welcome you here this morning. And it's so good for the people of God to gather together in worship. And so, welcome. Now, our desire is to have no hidden agenda. Okay, so as we've seen and ready, and as you know, Will has shared and kind of ushered us, brought us into this time of worship, into the presence of the Lord. The reality of Easter at MRC is that Easter is not just a celebration that spring has sprung, although it has and it's pretty gorgeous. But this is what we believe. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 4. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. We believe in resurrection. We are resurrection people. Jesus of Nazareth, once dead, He's now alive. Easter is a big deal for us, not because of bunnies and peeps and colored eggs, but because a dead man came out of a tomb alive. And what we do with that truth will have eternal implications. This is what we believe. Now, here's what happened. I want to recount some of the events of that first resurrection morning centuries ago from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And so I want to invite you to turn there in your Bibles. You could swipe there in your Bible apps. I'll have it on the screen as well if you want to follow along. But I invite you to open there and leave it open. We'll be in Luke chapter 24 for a minute, and then we'll explore a couple other verses as well. But here's what happened. For a little context, before we dive into Luke 24, a little context of what has happened from Good Friday to this point. After 6 hours of being crucified on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth was dead. His body, they sealed it in a tomb. Then on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures, here's what happened. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Now, why? Well, they're talking first here. Who's the they? It's the women. What are these spices that they're bringing? Well, the spices that they had prepared were used to anoint a dead body. Okay, so they're coming to anoint this dead body with these spices. They found, when they got there, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The stone is moved. The tomb is empty. They're a bit surprised. So what'd they do? While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces, Jesus was not there, but two angels were to tell them why Jesus was not there. This is what they say. Why do you seek the living among them? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. In this moment, the women showed up with the narrative, with the expectation that death had won. They saw Jesus die on that Roman cross. They saw him breathe his last breath. They saw him give up his spirit. When they showed up that morning, they showed up like any one of us would have, believing we're just going to do the right thing. We're going to go pay our respects. We're going to go give the honor that is due to his body that we surely will find in the grave. It looked like defeat. But that's not what happened. What looked like the weakness of God was actually God's most glorious hour. Do you ever think about that? If you want to see God's glory, if you want to see him in victory, it's Jesus hanging on the cross. But because of the resurrection, we can join in the victory of Jesus. And so we read in 1 Corinthians that Christ died according to the scripture. Now, there's a whole lot in view there, and we're not going to unpack all of that here this morning. But one thing is this, Isaiah 53, verse 6. Says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one of us, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, I think it's a fair statement to say that nobody in this room likes to be told they're going in the wrong direction. Right? Men, are you listening? Men, we don't like to be told we're going the wrong way, do we? Women, do you like to tell men that they're going the wrong way? I'll confess, We were in Jacksonville a few weeks ago and rented a car and relied on GPS. We set the right destination, but because of some newer construction in the area, I think anyway, I'm going to blame it on that. Okay, I'll be honest too. First time, new place. I drove in more than a few wrong directions, even with the GPS going. There were just some spots where on-ramps or highways merging that it just, I thought I was going in the right way, and then we weren't. And I'm seeing a nod from someone who lives in Jacksonville, so I feel a little bit better about myself. To Catherine's credit, she was very gracious about it and never said a word. But with GPS, and you've had these experiences, if you've used GPS, I'm sure, you can really get used to that voice recalculating, right? Nobody likes to be told they're going the wrong direction, but we learn in Scripture that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the Lord, in His great love for us, laid our sin upon Jesus. By faith in Christ, our eternal destination, set for separation from God in a real place called hell, has been recalculated. It's been restored. The relationship that was robbed from us in Genesis has been given back to us in Jesus Christ. And the empty tomb is the guarantee that it is so. We also read in 1 Corinthians that Christ was buried and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. The resurrection, my friends, is more than just a notable moment in Christian faith. Because if the resurrection didn't happen, there is no Christian faith. The resurrection is the greatest moment in all of human history. And here's why. Because the tomb is empty, it means everything Jesus said about Himself, everything the Scriptures say and promise, it's true and trustworthy. It means Jesus Christ is the Savior He said He would be. It means He is the risen, living Lord who's worthy of our worship and glory and our praise. When He said, "Because I live, you will also live," take it to the bank. The greatest moment in history is the resurrection, and here's why it matters for you and I. Because Jesus Christ has purchased us. He's ransomed us from slavery to sin by His blood. And because death cowers defeated at His empty tomb, we can have courage and confidence and hope in Him. This is what Easter's about. Not baskets and Easter grass and Cadbury eggs. Though I like Cadbury eggs, the mini ones, not the big ones, the mini ones. Dark chocolate, in case you have any extras. Sorry, my voice is also starting to sound like I've been up since 5 a.m. Easter is not all about the meal that we're surely to eat a couple hours from now. It's about declaring that hope has come, that there is salvation in Christ and in Christ alone. The Bible says if you are in Christ Jesus, your sins are forgiven because He is risen. If there's something lingering in you, I think part of what this means, if there's something lingering in you or there's something that's weighing you down, you've got some guilt or shame maybe, the invitation is to lay it at the cross and receive the freedom of the empty tomb. Maybe you're here today and you see celebration. You might even know in your mind that sin has been forgiven, that death has been defeated, but there are some circumstances in life and your life still hurts a little bit. It's Easter, but you still have challenges or difficulties or pain or fears, and you need power. You need strength. You need help. You need hope. Listen with me to what the New Testament says in Romans 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives, dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This is talking about the Holy Spirit who brought Jesus out of the tomb. The same Spirit, the same power who is available to you and to me to live, to dwell, to take up residence in us. That doesn't mean you're never going to have challenges. But it does mean you will never face them alone. That's worth saying again. That doesn't mean you will never have challenges, but it does mean you will never face them alone. The power of the resurrection isn't information for you. It's not the power of the resurrection isn't perfection by you. The power of the resurrection isn't duty from you. Rather, the power of the resurrection is God who wants a relationship, who wants to do life with you. Because of the resurrection, those who are in Christ, what we celebrate today is not a set of beliefs, not a set of moralisms, but that there is something extraordinarily different and new. There's new life in us. We're no longer alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. And so things happen in life. Good things, hopefully. Maybe some painful things. Underneath all of that, the Holy Spirit, for those in Christ, is active and orchestrating things in your life in such a way as to draw you closer to Him. Hope has come. We all endure suffering. If you haven't, check your pulse. Some of us have experienced severe suffering, things like abuse or loss, illness or injury. I mean, right, there's real fractures of life that we experience. Not talking about, you know, having a hard day this past week because the Yankees swept the Red Sox. It was only two games. I have a friend right now, someone many of you in this room know, who has cancer, who loves the Lord, and is following Jesus. And her hope right now isn't in chemo. It's in Jesus. He's closer to her than anything else. And even though the cancer, it's probably going to take its toll. You can see the hope in her eyes. It's deep in her soul. Death will not have the final word. The grave is not the end of the story. Not for Jesus and not for you or me. That's one of the reasons why the resurrection of Jesus is so important. But it's not the only one. Paul, in his writings throughout the New Testament, reflects on this. And he says, if you endure suffering, and what he means by that is not just gritting your teeth and getting through it, like that's something that almost everyone does. What he means is if you look to Christ in the midst of your suffering, if you cling to Him, then what will happen is that in every valley, in every shadow, in every fracture, in every whatever darkness may come, wherever death seems like it has the victory, the promise of the empty tomb is that the resurrection life of Jesus will break in there. And in this life and the next, you will experience the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's only possible because of the resurrection. So for those of us who have said yes to Jesus, there are people here with cancer in their bodies, people who have endured great loss, people who've endured the kind of suffering that knocks you down. But you're still standing, even if you're a little wobbly at the knees. Because your hope isn't in your circumstance. Your hope isn't in your own strength. Your hope isn't in what other people think. You've placed your hope in Jesus. Easter is when we say, "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" And we stand and stare down devil and death itself and say, "You do not get the final word." For the prodigal, anytime we drift away from the Lord, having our heart grow cold and things like bitterness, addiction, idolatry, there's always consequences. And the number one thing that the enemy does in our life is try to separate us, tries to separate you. He puts the weight of the darkness on you. And he begins to tell you that there is no hope. You can never come home. It will cost too much. Too much to you or too much to someone else. But that guilt, that shame, that actually isn't your work or your worry. What the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus does is guarantee whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've come from, whatever's going on in your life, whatever doubts you might have, that there's always a place in the Father's house for you. That's worth saying again, too. There's always a place in the Father's house for you. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead can bring life to our dead relationships. He can bring life and healing to the scars and of abuse that has happened to us. He can bring life and freedom to the addictions that enslave us. He can bring life to your dead career path because maybe you've been serving money more than you've been serving God. There's power in the blood and promise in the empty tomb. And finally, for those who have not yet said yes to Jesus, this is all the reason why I follow him. The reason I keep pursuing him, the reason he's so compelling to me as a man, that when I encounter suffering, or when suffering touches me, touches my life, I only consider the resurrection. Touch the cross. Touch the empty tomb. And have glorious hope. Don't you want hope that can never be taken away? That kind of hope is in one man and comes by one name. His name is Jesus. And so this morning, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, the reality of the resurrection, the truth of the resurrection is declared to you and me. Romans 10 verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Right? Christianity is never about information or ethics. It's always about provoking the yes in us that leads us to a life of devotion, a yes that causes men and women and children throughout the ages to say, "This man, Jesus, there's no one like him, and I will follow him to my grave. Because I know that's just the beginning." By faith, we trust in him and confess he is our Lord and Savior, believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we're grafted into his victory over sin and death. And we too will be raised to new life, not just when our life on earth ends, but to live the life that Jesus has for us every day. If you've said yes to Jesus and that yes is distant, there have been other passions, other fires burning in you. Your love for Jesus has grown a little bit cold. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever obstacles, whatever valleys, the Lord can do extraordinary things because our God defeated the grave. I want us all to know, wherever we're at, that long before we even considered Jesus, Jesus has been considering us. He's been considering you. And he's done everything for you in this moment so that God, the same God who defeated the grave, might defeat everything that is dark and broken in your life. And if the life that is in Christ Jesus is in you, this is just the beginning of what he will do. But what will you do with this news? Will you resist it and turn away from him? Will you receive it and turn toward him from a thousand lesser things? Recalculating. Friends, the resurrection isn't just to be set in the closet of our heart. May we marvel and enjoy it day by day as the greatest news we've ever received. And may we take it out and declare it to a lost and searching and hurting world. Please don't let fear or guilt or shame or what other people think stop you. Hope has come. For the truth is, as the angels declared, he is risen. Praise be to God. Pray with me, please. Lord, we do praise and bless your name for how you're moving in our hearts right now. Because of your Son, his life, his death, his resurrection and ascension means that whoever we are, whatever is going on in our lives, whatever is happening, there is hope. And so this morning I ask for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, that we would experience the glorious resurrection of Jesus break into our lives in a million different ways. Do today what no human could ever do. Move among us, Lord. So for where we have hurts, where we have sicknesses, where we have burdens, Lord, we proclaim your promise that your death has forgiven us, your blood has healed us, and your resurrection has reconciled us again to you, to our Father. May we hear you call our name today. May we hear you say, you are my sons, you are my daughters. And as we go from this place, as we go into our weeks, Lord, help us, stir in us to carry the light of your life with you, with us. Be with us, we pray. We love you, Lord. And all God's people said together, amen.